Welcome to Shoujo, the podcast where we experience no audio issues ever. We didn't just spend hours trying to correct Joe's mic and then my mic crapped out like it went from him to me. But we're back. We're back, baby, and ready to go through, skip beat some more with you guys. I'm Sarah, Joe here. We're both exhausted from our ordeal, but we're here happy and excited to talk about Skip Beat.
I'm so excited to talk about Skip Beat.
Well, at least it's a show about rage. We can just channel our rage through any upsetting parts. Oh my god. But first, other than the mic thing, what else has been going on in your life, Joe?
I don't even know what I like. this last hour has like wiped out all of my memory of everything. What's happened in the last week?
Oh, did your finger cast get removed yet?
No, I still have the stitches in my finger.
Oh, right. You were wanting to rip them out yourself.
Yes, they're very annoying. Oh. But it doesn't hurt anymore. I was taking painkillers for a while. Now I don't have to. Now it's just like, oh, if I like move my finger, if I try to move my finger too much, it'll be like, ugh, you got stitches in there, man. And I'm like, oh yeah, I do have stitches in there. What did I do this week?
You saw the movie. Let's see. I saw Gundam, whatever.
Yeah. Yes. I did see the Gundam, the first Gundam compilation movie.
Was it good?
Which went further than I thought it would go.
Okay.
It goes past Garma dying. I thought it would end at Garma, but it goes past that to like them traveling to, I actually don't remember, but we go past Amuro's mom, which was surprising.
Okay. Because
I feel like that's pretty late in the show. It's weird to me to know that Gundam got canceled and then these movies were so popular that the franchise got revived because...
Well, it's not that good.
I feel like the movies are hard to follow because you're taking like 14 episodes and shoving it into like a 2.5 hour movie, right? Which like has the runtime of what, like 7 episodes? So you're like cutting it in half. So a lot of it just doesn't make as much sense. I mean, it kind of does, but they skip over a lot of stuff and like some stuff doesn't hit as well as the show. But to know this is the thing that made it popular is weird. Like the abridged version is the thing that brought it from the brink of death back to life.
Well, I guess at that time it would have been hard to watch the episodes all together unless you purchased it, and maybe people just didn't want to do that. So this is a way to see it all with one sit down.
Yeah, that's a good point. I forgot that it's like you just have to watch it every week, and if you miss a week, then
you're screwed. Sucks,
I guess.
Yeah,
it's like pretty. Yeah, I mean, I guess it makes sense that like a lot of cartoons growing up for like us were all episodic for that reason. I'm guessing.
I know. That's why
like,
I was
this one. It doesn't matter.
Just thinking, about this. Like yesterday about Pokemon and how you could just pop in any episode. It's all self-contained, so it doesn't matter if you're watching it week to week, which works because kids are definitely less likely to be like, let me sit down at the same time every week to watch this thing. Although I did do that for Avatar The Last Airbender, but I was a middle schooler by then.
Yeah, I remember when that was airing. It's hard, though.
It is.
Because there's definitely times like I couldn't watch stuff because it's like, oh, I had to go to a family thing or like I just forgot.
Grounded and you can't. Yeah.
So, you know, you used to have to make your whole life around watching a TV schedule. And now you don't ever have to think about anything.
No. Now
the expectation is that you watch everything all in one sitting, which is crazy. And I hate doing and I never do. But that's like how they assume everybody watches everything. I think that's a bad way to watch stuff.
Yeah. I like
the space
reality
stuff.
Shows. I watch them the next morning. So that's how I like start my day, by catching up rather than like watching it when it comes out, but still not all together, but I'm so tired. I'm so tired.
Now. I finally started Gundam Wing.
Oh God, it's
we're in it, baby. The one people saw, the one that came to the U.S. and Toonami. Gundam Wing. Hey, it's also the one that's meant to appeal more towards women.
Oh, is that true?
Kind of. Like we have
are the boys better looking or something?
Yeah, there. Okay. I'll let me send you a picture of these Gundam boys.
Okay, I'll be the judge. I feel like I just saw a thing that Henry Cavill wants to be in the live action Voltron series.
I don't think they should make a live action Voltron series. I don't think they should make a live Netflix action
animated series. I think, which was okay.
Anything ever. Yeah, that was animated. And also, yeah, that one was crazy.
Well, I listened, this podcast I listened to called History of the 80s did an episode of Voltron and how basically they took several Japanese shows and just mushed them together and renamed it to be Voltron. That's wild.
Yes, this is the same reason why you can't watch Macross, because it became Robotech here. What everybody says is that Robotech fucking sucks.
Well, I was going to say Robotech's a lame name.
It's Macross pretty terrible. Is way better. Yeah, go through these boys. So everybody's number themed.
But okay.
What, you don't
I
like
don't
them?
Love. No, they don't do Which it one? For me. First off, the guy with the weird, like almost mohawk, but it's flat and in front of his face, like a spiky pompadour that looks dope. Uh-huh. And then there's a guy.
You're hitting my boy Troa?
There's a guy wearing like riding paint or like old 20s military pants where they poof out at the cat or the thighs. And then this guy with the little tiny.
He's like a martial art duo?
The slick back ponytail, not working for me for the guy with the black hair. This is so.
Dude, his hands.
Look at these outfits.
You don't like these outfits? They're fun. Listen, they're like the Backstreet Boys, right? So, like, the one on the far left is like fearless. You know what I mean? Like, he is
fearless. I'd be so embarrassed to have that hair.
The second guy is the like the main guy we hang out with, who is like, yes, he's very distant, you know, makes it hard. The one in the middle is like the fun one. He's the fun one.
He does.
He like jokes around. Yeah, he has a good time. And then let's see.
Quiet, but well-meaning. Is that this guy? Disinterested.
You know, Wufei is, so far he's kind of just sexist. But he is like the warrior one. You know what I mean?
Okay.
He's sexist in the way that like a
women can't
14-year-old boy would be. Like he's gonna get owned. You know what I mean? Like he's okay, totally good. Set up to get like annihilated.
Good. Like Sokka.
And then the last guy is like the rich koi. He's like the rich nice guy.
Yes.
He's like the noble.
Is he a foreigner too?
Well, they're all from the colonies, so I don't know. But the main you wanna see the main chick?
Okay, Elena? Yeah, show me. I'm ready.
I should just give you that.
She's just surrounded in a harem of mediocre boys.
Okay, first off, these boys are not mediocre. These are the least mediocre boys. They are all like trained ridiculous killers and are like insane. They're all like insane people.
Okay.
Except for the rich boy is the only one who's kind of normal so far. Everybody else is like a psycho almost. Let me see. Gundam Wing ending. I mean, Duo is fine. He's pretty normal. Here's the ending where that's just like Relena going on like a rich girl safari. She's great. I love her. Listener, if you want to listen along this, we're watching Gundam Wing ending. It's just love.
She's not that. She's like, looks like she's got rod up her ass. Like,
stick. Dude, like, she's going through it.
Okay. She looks very.
She's
rich girl Stern.
She's a serious. Yes, she's very rich girl Stern. It's good. Like, we like
she
Relena
would be
so
the
far.
Bully. Okay. She looks like
I'm on episode 7, so okay. Who knows? 7 out of like 50. So things could go in any number of directions. But so far, pretty good.
Okay. Whatever. She's not ugly, but she doesn't feel super personable. But maybe that's just her journey is to become.
Well, that's why she gets along so well with Hiro, the guy who shows up and then says he's going to kill her if she keeps interfering with his mission.
My God. Okay.
And let me tell you, she keeps interfering.
Okay.
It's good.
If you say so, I'll take your word for it. Good
it
enough
is.
That the U.S. finally got on board, I guess.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how if it sticks the landing or not, or, you know, sticks to the midpoint. Who knows? Well, I got a lot of show left, but I'm having a good time with this one. Better than G Gundam so far.
Okay. All right. Anything else going on?
I watched a bunch of movies. like horror movies.
Yes,
but I can say that for the recommendation.
I was going to say you recommended one last week. Okay, this is
what about you?
I was going to say I need you to ask me, so it's not like, oh my god, Sarah's just like always being like, well, I
ask sometimes.
I am replaying Life is Strange right now, which I think I might finish it today or tomorrow. But since the new one, Life is Strange Double Exposure, comes out on the 29th of October, because I haven't played it since it first released over like 10 years ago. So doing that, kind of a short game, so it'll be quick to knock out. And then I don't know what I'm going to do until Veilguard comes out. But maybe you and me will play. Ooh, maybe we'll play some more Walkabout. You want to? Why don't you share your thoughts on Walkabout Pocket Edition?
I played Walkabout Pocket Edition.
Yeah, Walkabout Mini Golf Pocket Edition is the iOS app version that is cross-playable with VR. So I was in my headset while you and another friend played on your phones.
That's right.
It's kind of hard to get the hang of it, but
I thought it was fine. I mean, I'm going to use the thing where you hold it like vertically and you could just like pull back and shoot as opposed to like swinging my phone around.
Tap to putt versus swing to putt is.
But it was good. Yeah, no, it's fun.
Yeah. And we played through the Wallace and Gromit level and Widow's Walkabout. And I don't know. Did I take you anywhere else? Oh, yeah. We played on Laser Lair. Felt like one of the hardest courses ever. We all got
annihilated for like 10 minutes.
Yep.
Yes. That also happened.
Yeah, so that was fun. That's been like a work thing. The Pocket Edition launched and it's doing quite well, although it is a paid app. And I feel like the competition pool is much smaller in the paid app charts than free to play. But I very much would rather just pay up front and be able to experience the game than like all the freaking gotcha crap in other games. I hate that so much. Let's see. What else have I been doing? Big Brother ends tonight. And then what am I going to do? What show's going to accompany me 3 mornings of the week?
You just got to lock yourself into a house with a bunch of strangers. You have to become the change you want to see.
Well, I did apply once like two years ago, but maybe I should play again. No, I'll lose my job.
That's surprising.
What? To be on Big Brother?
Yeah.
Hey, I hang out indoors all the time anyway. I'd be like,
you'd like hate being around a bunch of strangers.
Hi, Mr. Musclehead. Help me get ripped because I'm so bored. I'll finally work out. Would be my plan. No, I have a hard time holding I don't know. I like have a high threshold, but once I'm over you, it's like very clear that I'm over it. But I don't know. I feel like I'd be a good liar, and everyone was so sloppy this season.
I could lie to these fools.
Yeah, it's because I have such a like wholesome image to a lot of people that they wouldn't anticipate it. Like how girls on my cross country team thought I listened to gospel music when I was listening to like Disturbed and stuff like that instead.
Yeah, but you didn't like swear and stuff.
No, I didn't swear then. But I can revert back to that for the sake of the game.
Like, you. Okay.
I don't know. I feel like I'd be okay at some of the challenges.
I don't know what the challenges in Big Brother are like.
Well, this season they cut a lot of the more physically demanding ones. So there's a lot of competitions that I miss seeing because they were more like endurance based and there's a lot less of those. But those are, I don't know, those are fun. I have a high pain tolerance. I think I could do well in the endurance ones.
Is it like stand on top of this box for as long as you can and they do it for like 4 hours?
That's the Survivor one, right?
Yes. That's my only reference point.
Let's see. There's one where you just, it's called the pressure cooker, I think, where you just had to hold a button for like whoever holds their button down the longest wins. And it like just goes on for like so many hours and some people accidentally slip up or Some just are bored and or fall asleep, stuff like that. Or they have to like hang on this wall that like tilts back and forth, and like you have these tiny little footholds and arm or hand.
Like you're bouldering or something.
Yeah, like that. You have to, but you're facing out from the wall, and then you get like blasted with slime and rain, and so you're cold, what? And it's like slippery.
It's like a Double Dare challenge. What is this?
Kind of, but yeah, it's like whoever can hold on the longest goes, and like you can always tell who's gonna drop first. But yeah, stuff like that I like. But if it's anything like, let me do math, then I would fail miserably. But yeah, so we'll see what happens. I am watching Survivor this season. Oh, okay. And then I saw that movie with my coworker, My Old Ass. I said it was going to be a comedy. And then both of us were like sobbing at the end of the movie. Oh,
because it was so funny.
No, it was like sad at laughing. The end. I almost made it. Oh man, it was sad at the end, but I did get my fried pickles, so that was excellent. Yeah, I don't know. It's supposed to start cooling off next week, so then I'm just waiting. We're almost there. We're almost to a point where I can be happy fully. My happiness
for like a month, for like 2 months,
gauges so affected by the weather.
The fact that your happiness is tied so much to the weather and you live in a place where the weather is only good for like 3 months is like maybe not the best.
I know. One day, I swear to God, one day. Well, just, I don't know. In the next 5 years, I would say at most. I should like not date until I move.
What?
I don't want to get shackled down here. I don't want a ball and chain. That's what I had before. Oh man,
I would hate to. I would hate to fall in love and have to stay in this hellhole.
Yeah,
the worst thing that could ever happen.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
But also, it's like
don't fall in love. Easy. I never do. So how hard can it be?
Well, I never leave my house, so it's pretty easy. But, you know, you need money to move. So that's a problem.
You do need money to move.
So gotta figure that out and then maybe. But, yeah.
Just don't take any of your stuff. Just go by yourself. Just go.
No, I'm taking the animals. I'm taking my bajillion posters and my
gaming. Leave Cricket in charge of your apartment.
I can't afford this apartment and another one. Oh,
it's true.
Okay.
Well, speaking of never falling in love with anybody,
yeah,
that's a bad idea.
Uh-huh.
Should we talk about Skippy?
Let's do it.
Okay.
Stage 13.
No, well, first I'm gonna give you a voice actor. Beep,
beep, beep, beep. Our favorite voice segment. Actor.
Everyone's favorite segment that I insist upon doing every time. The voice actor for Shofua is Mamoru Miyano.
Sounds like such a cute name.
Yes. Who has played characters such as Light Yagami in Death Note.
Oh, damn.
That's right. And also has played Rintaro Okabe in Steins Gate. That's the main character in Steins Gate.
Okay.
Also appears to be the main character Osamu Dazai in Bungo Stray Dogs.
I haven't really watched.
I've never seen that, but people like that. It's got 53 episodes at least.
Got a bunch of pretty boys in it.
Got pretty boys. Yeah. Plays somebody named Kuro Sakuragawa in Inspector.
Oh, I just started watching that like 2 days ago. I watched like the first episode. Yeah, it's kind of a weird ass. I thought it was going to be cute and romantic, but now it's kind of like, ew. Creepy or weird.
What's
what? Anyways, continue.
He plays Celian? Telian? Dent? It's either a character named Celian or a character named Dent in Pokemon, which is the like those. There's like triplets that are different colors, and that's the green one.
Okay, playing all three triplets.
No, he plays that one. I think that's one that goes with Ash. Because he's in 137 episodes.
Okay. He's one of the partners.
Yeah, he must be one of the partners as a green guy. Okay. I don't know. I remember I played, it's like an X and Y maybe, or black and white. I don't know.
No idea.
Also plays Taichi Mashima in Chihara Furu.
We love Taichi. Yeah, he's so gorgeous. We gotta watch that. Maybe we should watch that next. That's streaming for sure. It's so good.
Plays Ryuji in Persona 5 Royal and maybe just regular. Scroll down further. Yeah,
those are Ryuji. Well, this guy can have a dynamic range because some of them are like soft characters and then show and stuff is like grumpy, angry, bratty characters.
Mm-hmm. He's Ignis in Final Fantasy 15.
Wow. You don't play that in Japanese.
I mean, you
Which
could.
One is that?
Ignis? 15?
Is he?
Oh, Ignis, he's the camera guy. He's the chef guy, right?
Which one is
he's the guy who makes, he's like the fancy guy.
Oh, never mind.
15 is where you're like the boys and you like go on a
road trip. Oh, right. That's right. He's the guy with glasses?
I think he's the guy with glasses.
Okay. Yeah. I played like an hour of that. Okay, I see. I was like, the name sounds familiar.
Yeah, I played that game and I remember almost none of it.
Just another pouty dude as your protagonist. Like, we have already done Cloud. Let's like move on to somebody new, please.
And he's also Trollo in Hunter Hunter, who I think is like one of the big bads. Okay. Anyway, dude's in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Plays a lot of boys.
Mm.
Anyway. Oh, yeah. He's Ling in Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Oh, Ling's cool. Link's hot.
Great. Yeah. Anyway, proficient. Oh my god, he's someone in Gundam 00. I haven't seen that one, so I don't know who that is. And nobody likes that Gundam, but.
Oh dear.
Anyway, okay, I'll stop looking. God, he's in so much stuff. Holy crap.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, skip beat, stage 13. 13. stage 13 is called the Battle Girls. We open on the commercial audition. The director, sprawled out on a couch, props his feet up on a pile of money that Erica used to bribe the others, telling them to get this scrap away from him. And then he says to that while they're at it, they should tell Erica that he doesn't sell his talents cheaply because he is extremely over the top about everything. Erica takes the news that her bribe isn't going to work very poorly and tells Moko that she'll just beat her with her superior talent, and Moko tells her to bring it on. For the next round, they have to draw lots to decide the audition order. Kyoko is freaking out because she's sure she's going to draw a blank lot and thus be eliminated. And Moko is like, what are you talking about? None of the lots are blank. Stop being weird. And then she pulls up the last two and they read 3A and 3B, which is confusing to them. The audition starts again and the director named Ushio Kurosaki is introduced.
Kurosaki
sees Makoto. What?
Yay, Kurosaki. Like Ichigo.
Yeah, like
Sorry,
Ichigo.
Okay. Continue.
I was not what I... By the way, I did buy a bunch of Blu-rays, anime Blu-rays recently.
A Bleach. For the best arc ever.
I got all the way through the Soul Society in Bleach, which is only the first three volumes are like...
Seasons two and three are when they're in the Soul Society. The first one is white, the second one is red, and then the third one's blue. Or at least the copies that I had. Why didn't I keep those?
Okay. Yeah, why are you you know so much about this and you're acting like me saying it's like one of the best arcs ever is dumb.
No, I just didn't expect it from you. I agree, it's a good arc.
It's because I have good opinions.
Yes, I respect your opinions.
Kurosaki sees Moko and Kyoko in their outfits and finds it very amusing, and they both think he looks like a mobster, like he's in the Yakuza or something. The director makes a speech about how his commercials are a work of art and they need to be impactful, so he thinks of them as like making a quick drama more than making an ad, which I don't, you know, I watch Mad Men, I don't really know if I agree. He explains that there will be two actresses and they will be judged as a pair. He says that for the audition, they will have to do a scene where the two actresses are going to have a fight between two close friends over a guy for 60 seconds. They all have 20 minutes to prepare. Erica's pissed that it's going to be a duo now because that means even if she does well, her partner could blow it for her. She protests that Moko and Kyoko being able to work together is unfair because they're coworkers and probably already friends, so their performance is going to have an advantage. Kyoko responds that although they are coworkers, and she considers the two of them friends, Moko just started talking to her today, so any friendship is totally one-sided. And Erica's like, what are you saying? You guys are wearing matching outfits. And Kyoko's like, yeah, we're wearing matching outfits. Are you jealous? And the director's like, all right, look, we'll just like make them redraw lots or whatever. And Moko protests, saying that she wants to stay paired with Kyoko, and they'll just do their audition without any preparation. They'll just wing it. Kyoko's freaking out because she would actually like to prepare something instead of winging it. But she just has to sit in a room by herself until their turn instead. The director thinks this is a bold gambit because only the talented and lucky are able to make it. So I guess we'll see if they have those things. We cut to the audition. Erica just finished her audition trial and the judges are impressed about how well she can argue. Now it's Moko and Kyoko's turn. Kyoko has no idea how she's supposed to play the scene at all. And Moko just tells her to just react to what she's doing. The clock starts on their 60 seconds and Moko and Kyoko just stare at each other. Kyoko wonders if she's supposed to do something when all of a sudden Moko walks over and slaps her across the face. Kyoko thinks to herself that she should slap Moko back, but then she looks at Moko, who is regretfully crying. She falls to her knees and Kyoko decides to apologize to her instead. And the scene ends. The director is shocked. Duh. He's shocked. Moko then stands back up and thanks them all, ending the scene. One of the judge comments that they still had more time. And then the other actresses comment that the scene was genius because they conveyed both the anger of the argument and the strength of their relationship all in a few moments. We jump ahead to later in the audition. Apparently there's another round where the opposite partner has to lead a scene where the two of them make up. So everybody's preparing for that. Moko thinks that with the performance she just gave, she probably has got like a 50-50 shot, depending on how well this next part goes. Then she thinks back to Kyoko apologizing to her after the performance for only of thinking of the one line to say when she's like, sorry. Moko says that's what she wanted, and maybe she had just trusted Kyoko to respond that way because she had so much faith in her. Erica comes over to taunt the two of them, saying that they have no creative ability or ability to express themselves. Kyoko's in a different room, so Moko defends her in her stead. She says that Kyoko was cut from a different cloth and she has no idea what she's going to do in the next round because there's something wrong with her. Erica's like, what does that even mean? That's not even a compliment. Also, why are you so calm when I insult you, but then you get all angry when I insult Kyoko? Elsewhere, Kyoko is by herself because she is not allowed to prepare with Moko. She wonders how she's going to act in the next scene, because in real life, if she was fighting over a boy with her friend, she would just give up because she's already resolved to give up on love. So instead, she just starts role-playing having a best friend with a folding chair that she's sitting in.
It's so Erica, funny.
It's very funny. She just like starts
like
doing
she's frolicking with a folding chair. So good.
Erica's been spying on her and she thinks that it's true, that there is something wrong with her. She sees her frolicking with a chair. Kyoko thinks about how she wants to be friends with Moko and how impressive she was in the last round. She wonders what she should do because she has to lead this time. We cut to the director talking with the other judges while walking down the hall. They all think Erica and Moko are the strongest contenders, but the director thinks that Kyoko may still have some talent to show off. He walks in on Kyoko, who's examining the drinks for the ad, as she wonders if she'll be able to, like, drink it because it's carbonated, and she doesn't really like carbonated stuff. He tells her that she better like drinking it because if she can't drink the product, then she can't be in the ad. Kyoko decides that she'll drink it like her life depends on it in the next scene, and Erica overhears this and decides to steal that for her performance. The audition starts. Kyoko is freaking out because she told the director part of her routine without thinking about it, so it won't be a surprise anymore. Maybe she should do something else, I don't know. Moko sees her freaking out and gets angry because she thinks that she's gonna, like, blow it. She's like, did you not come up with anything? Erica begins her scene by requesting a bottle of the soda. Her and her partner act out a bizarre scene where one of them sings and the other one dances, but, like, the director's into
artistic.
It, so I guess it's fine. It was very weird. I was watching this and I'm like, what is happening?
It looks better in the manga than in the...
I'm sure it did. The director was into it, though, so I guess it's fine. Then she drinks some of the soda and hands it to the other, signifying their mended relationship. The director is impressed that they incorporated the product so well into their audition. It's Moko and Kyoko's turn. Kyoko walks out like a zombie and tells Moko that she was planning on doing the same thing. The director seems to realize that Erica stole her routine because he saw her hanging out outside of Kyoko's room before he like went in to talk to her. Moko tries to think of something to say when the director's like, so you guys gonna start or what? But she sees Kyoko with some newly founded fiery resolve as we cut to credits.
What's it gonna be?
She got her axe stolen.
Yeah, that bitch.
That's rude.
I know.
And the director knew it happened and then didn't say anything.
Well, in the manga, it makes it more clear that she like saw what she was planning. Because in this, it just shows her seeing her holding the drinks, but not really talking about what her plan was. But in the manga, it's much more clear that she's hopping off Kyoko.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of a lot of cutting. Yeah, this I feel like this is it is a hard one to summarize. I mean, even the manga, I think the manga works better because then because there's so much happening in each scene, but you're reading it at your own leisure, so you get everything happening. Versus the anime where it's all moving on and maybe you don't catch everything.
Yeah.
It is quite the action-packed. Like, yeah, there's always something happening, yeah.
It is very funny that the Mogo just slaps Kyoko out of nowhere, basically.
Well, it's like
she doesn't know what's going
to
happen.
Kyoko did to her the previous day when she was all like, what am I supposed to do? Money can't buy talent, blah, blah, blah. And then Kyoko slapped
It's true.
So I'm assuming that might have been some inspiration for it.
Yeah, that does echo it very nicely. All right, should I roll into the next one? Or do we have, I guess we should just, like, the next two episodes are like a pair.
Yep.
Stage 14 is called The Secret Stamp Book. We open on the director asking the two if they have anything prepared or not. Mogo starts to stammer, but Kyoko says it's okay, they're ready. Kyoko, radiating with rage, asks for the soda as the OP plays. We return with Kyoko holding both a can and a bottle of the soda. Moko's like, what the heck? We aren't sharing? Like, we're gonna each have our own? Kyoko hands her the bottle and tells her to follow her lead. The scene starts, and Kyoko sprays the can all over Moko. everybody is shocked because they're supposed to be, like, making up in the scene, but it kind of feels like they're not if she's spraying the other one with it. Kyoko makes a serious face and gestures at her cheek, and then says, that's for slapping me. Moko's impressed that she's able to, like, come up with that, but doesn't really know how to react to that. But then Kyoko's face lightens and she says, just kidding. Ha, I bet you thought I was serious. Moko pieces together what she's supposed to do and is like, oh, you tricked me. And then she tries to spray Kyoko with her bottle, but instead of it, like, spraying everywhere, it kind of just blows up in her hand instead. And she, like, yelps. Kyoko has to try to stop herself from laughing at seeing Moko all flustered, and Moko, seeing Kyoko almost laughing, causes her to laugh, and then everybody starts laughing. Moko gets back in character and then asks Kyoko if she will forgive her, and Kyoko holds up the can so they can bump their sodas together.
Like a
cheer.
And then
they both take a sip. Like a cheer. And then Moko ends the scene by saying thank you. The scene ends and Erica is stunned. The other girls comment that Erica's scene also ended with her saying thank you, but when Moko said it, it had more emotion, so, like, get wrecked.
That's right.
While this is happening, Moko and Kyoko have to clean up all the soda they sprayed everywhere, which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was good.
We cut to the judges' room. The judges are impressed that Kyoko and Moko, even though they're like, Moko was better. The director thinks to himself that Kyoko had to think of all of that entire routine in like a matter of seconds, which is way more impressive than anything else that happened.
Yeah.
But I guess the other judges don't know that.
No, they're kind of sucky judges.
they're kind of, I mean, these are all guys that were, it's like, just gonna get bribed right at the beginning. another judge comments that he was surprised when Kyoko asked for two sodas and then immediately started shaking them both. But I guess she had the whole thing planned out then. We cut to Kyoko, who's happy that her and Moko are friends now. Moko is like resistant to saying that the results, like, so being like, yeah, we're friends, whatever. But also the results aren't posted yet, so maybe you should just like relax. Kyoko says that Moko made it for sure. And Moko comments that she's not the only one. Like, you also did very well. The results are posted and Moko and Kyoko got it, so good for them. The director asks Kyoko to talk for a little bit as Erica looks at Moko and thinks how she's been beaten by her twice now. We cut to Moko and Kyoko walking home. Moko asks her what the director wanted to talk about, and Kyoko says that he was asking if she planned the whole thing with the can exploding more than the bottle, because, you know, cans explode more than bottles. Moko realizes that Kyoko intentionally handed her the bottle for that exact reason, so, like, hers would spray more and hers would spray less. Kyoko's like, yeah, you know, right? Like, we all know this. This is common knowledge about sodas exploding. and Moko is both impressed and weary of her. We get a cut to the director as he thinks that Kyoko might just be the real deal. We jump back to Kyoko, who's excited to be downtown with a girlfriend because she never had any girlfriends in high school. Moko thinks that she was the same way, but she doesn't say it. Nearby, Erica has disguised her butlers as like random dudes to try to pull like an insurance fraud scam against Moco, but it doesn't work.
There's Kyoko more tries in to- the manga, a lot more scenes dedicated to them trying to interfere and getting foils.
Yeah, like cartoon really hijinks. Funny. This yeah, is the yeah, most yeah. like cartoon hijinks that's been going on so far.
Yeah.
Let's see. Do. Kyoko tries to play act being high school friends with Moco, being like, oh, don't you think this dress would look good on you? Blah, blah, blah. And Moco's like, stop doing that. Like, only friends who act like that are shallow and fake, and they talk to you, like, they talk about you behind your back. And Kyoko was like, wow, did all of your friends do that growing up, Moco? And Moco was like, yes. And Kyoko says that would make her first true friend. Isn't that great? They get ice cream, and Moco gets mint chocolate chip because she's the best.
that is such a good flavor.
It's such a good flavor. She doesn't want to eat it, though, because it's high calorie, but she does anyway, and then she's mad about it. Kyoko gets some kind of, like, pink ice cream. I don't even know what this would be, like, bubble gum, I guess?
Yeah, maybe. It's, like,
too or strawberry? Bright to be strawberry. It's too bright to be strawberry, you know?
Sherbert?
Yeah, I guess.
Let's not dwell on it. Unimportant.
I think we should think about what kind of ice cream Kyoko would eat. Kyoko says that things are better when you're doing them with people that you love. It's just like magic, huh, Moco? Like, we're hanging out, and it's so great, and the ice cream tasted better, and it's all good. She gives her a playful shove just in time to avoid some kind of attack or something that Erica does.
Yeah, this is not clear in the manga either, or I guess, like, they don't show Erica appearing before being shoved. Like, she, I guess, tried to make a go at Moco, but since Kyoko is trying to shove Moco playfully, she ended up pushing Erica into the fountain, and she's holding like a mannequin or something.
She's holding a mannequin. It's very weird. I mean, she's hiding behind like basically a Colonel Sanders like mannequin. Uh-huh. It's all very odd. I don't know. The main point is that Erica ends up in the fountain, mm-hmm. but then she gets up and she's not wet at all. So maybe this didn't happen. And she says that if she ruins Moco's face, then she can't be in the commercial. And Moco's like, are you serious? You're gonna like physically assault me for beating you in a audition? And then she's like, you know what your problem is, Erica? You never give things your all. You always take shortcuts. You need to do everything in your power to accomplish your goals, not just like rely on bribery or whatever. Which is echoing the thing that Kyoko told Moco a couple episodes, which also echoes the thing that Chef Boss told Kyoko many episodes ago. So there we go. Chef Boss, MVP. Then Moco tells Erica that she is from an upper class, and only if she decides that to give things her all by actually like stooping to her level and like trying and like, you know, getting your hands dirty and like, you know, putting in the work, then she will think of her as her rival. Erica says that she will give it her all, and then Moco, and that Moco will be eating those words, and Moco gives a small smile, being like, okay, let's see if you got it, kid. We cut to Moco and Kyoko riding the bus home, and Kyoko gushes over how cool Moco was for calling her out like that. She's like, you even said the stuff I said to you before. And Moco's like, yeah, very, you know, good lines or whatever. Kyoko says, this is great. It's kind of like being best friends, right? And Moco's like, wait, kind of. You just told me you were my first true friend like 15 minutes ago. And then she turns to like complain about that. And then she finds that Kyoko is asleep. In her sleep, she mumbles that her and Moco should give it their all at the commercial. And Moco thinks that Kyoko is a trustworthy partner. And she gives her a 100 point stamp because I guess they can give each other stamps. Which seems a little weird.
Yeah. It's wrecking the system. They can just give each other stamps constantly.
They should just be giving each other stamps. We cut to Moco and Kyoko wearing what looks like schoolgirl uniforms as they frolic around a field, like, playfully because they're filming the commercial. Director Lori, Maria, Yashiro, and Ren are also there for some reason. And Maria decides to talk Kyoko up to Ren. Because she's, like, you know, a good wingman. They break for the day, and Kyoko hangs out with Maria. Maria explains that Lori invited Ren to the commercial shoot because he was filming something nearby, so he was, like, right over there. Kyoko thinks that she's disappointed that she didn't get to tell Ren that she got, like, accepted into a commercial, but then she's like, wait a minute, I'm not disappointed, I'm avoiding that guy. Why would I be disappointed about that? Moco gets out of the dress in her Love Me uniform. She teases Kyoko for still wearing her high schooler uniform. She's like, oh, you want to like live out the fantasy of being in high school a little bit longer. Kyoko gets embarrassed and goes to change, and Maria asks Moko why she would want to wear the uniform, and Moko says that Kyoko dropped out of high school, so she probably is like a little envious of regular high schoolers. We see Kyoko in the van saying that she's happy to get a little taste of what being a high schooler is like, and that she's going to give it 110% as we cut it to credits. Mm. Yep. Commercial arc over.
Yeah, it's a short little one. I feel like it was more dramatic in the manga, so I really like it in the manga. It was fine here. It just feels
what was more
short.
Dramatic about it?
I don't know. I guess. I mean, I feel like manga can just be more dramatic with the all the little effects they use, or like the quality of the art, or they like linger on things more or give it more context.
I feel like this was pretty good. Like I thought it was pretty dramatic when like her scene got scooped. And then she had to come up with a new one. And I'm like, oh, what's she going to do? What would I do? I don't know what I would do. Yeah. Moko and Kyoko are friends now. We get some setup for Kyoko wanting to go to high school, which is about to be relevant.
Yep. Yeah.
It's good.
This
it's
next one.
A lot of work.
It's kind of a abrupt change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. More of our...
In terms of like the pacing of stuff. I mean, again, like I like this kind of arc because it's about like women's relationship with each other.
Yeah. Yes. Not everything revolves around a dude or anyone.
Yeah. It's also about like trust and being like a team and stuff like that.
Yeah. I know. That's why like sometimes it feels like a sports anime in regards to the acting bits. So that's fun. Where ability is a thing that is highlighted. Get that a lot in shoujo.
I mean, it does seem like Kyoko is obviously very talented, right? Like she is able to do this stuff. But it's all a little bit more like creative piece that she's doing. You know what I mean? Like it's the creativity piece that she's good at, right?
Like not just doing what's expected.
Right. But it's not even like, you know, how it's not like she has like a lot of, I mean, she doesn't have like a formal training. She doesn't have like a lot of good like fundamentals in the way that, you know, Moko might. In terms of like, oh, you can like it.
Raw talent.
The script real good. Yeah. Yeah. Raw, yeah.
She's not like informed in by ways. Industry standards. It's just her perspectives affecting the way she acts and not because she's studied the best ways to do it.
This is just and it's almost like reference. It's based on like understanding, right? Like the thing that's impressive about her acting or whatever is like the scene itself conveys a lot of information in a lot of ways. It's not so much that like she, like, you know, her like facial expressions or whatever are, I mean they are, but that's not like the main focus in the way that it is for like Moko.
Yeah,
hers is like, oh, you were able to like get the sense of what being friends is like while incorporating soda product placement. Yep. And that stuff's good. I like that
stuff. It is good. It's good stuff.
It's a good way of like showing that she is different than other people, but in like in a way that is still applicable to like the task at hand, right?
Yeah.
Yep. It's anything else, or we should go to on to the next little mini thing.
Stage 15
is called Together in the Minefield.
These are such weird titles, man.
They are pretty weird. It seems like something cooler is going to happen than what happens. I mean, like, you know, what happens is fine. But, you know, the last one was called The Secret Stamp Book.
Yeah, lame.
Which I guess is just because Moko gives her a stamp at the end of it.
Stupid. Dumb.
Does Kyoko need to give Moko a stamp also? Like, does she also have a stamp book she needs to be doing?
She should have one. We just never see her with one.
Sure.
We don't see her do any Love Me work.
That's true.
She refuses to be a member of the Love Me section.
Together in the Minefield, we open on Ren getting a phone call from his department head telling him that Yashiro is sick, so instead he's asked Kyoko to fill in, even though Ren probably doesn't need a temp or anything. It's just a, like, shadow for the position for the future. Ren hangs up the phone and sighs as we see Kyoko standing behind him as the OP plays. After the OP, we jump back to them, and Ren tells Kyoko that she can go home because she can't really help him with anything anyways. She gets annoyed and says that she can be his manager under her breath, and Ren hears this, and he gives his nice fake smile and says, oh yeah, well, if you insist, I guess you can work hard for me then. Because he's a little shit. President Lori swings by to talk to the department head, who informs him that Kyoko will be acting as Ren's manager today. He seems bummed because clearly he wanted to like talk to her, like give her a request or something. So the department head gives him her phone number now because she has a phone now. So I guess she just recently got a phone for the first time. Ren has an interview and Kyoko complains that that she hasn't gotten to do any managerial stuff all morning. She's just been like standing near him. She figures that she'll get to do more stuff this evening because so far all she's done is like managed his calendar a little bit. However, as the day goes on, we get a montage of Kyoko as the manager, where Ren, one, won't let her carry her bag. He will carry his own bag. Two, he will shield her from his mob of fans. And three, he will apologize for her when she like knocks some stuff over on set. So basically, he's like taking care of her instead of the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of this montage, Kyoko hears some girls gossip about how jealous they are that Kyoko gets to be Ren's temp manager. But Kyoko just kind of feels like a failure, like she hasn't done any managerial stuff at all. Later that evening, while driving home, she notices that he's very tense. So Kyoko apologizes to Ren for taking the job of manager so lightly. Ren's like, I'm not mad about that, but Kyoko still thinks he is. Kyoko's stomach starts to rumble, and Ren says that they should stop and eat since they, like, have time, and they haven't, like, eaten all day, I guess, he just noticed. Kyoko thinks back to another time when Ren insisted that he wasn't angry, and she thinks that maybe he's just that way. Or, like, maybe he's just angry about something else all the time? I don't know, something's going on with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Ren asks what she wants to eat, and she says anything is fine, so Ren decides on boiled frog legs as they drive off.
Ugh. Right, is that really fine. A meal? I feel like
I've had fried frog legs before. Boiled?
Boiled doesn't sound right. That doesn't sound appetizing. No. One time, I don't know if you remember, there's this girl who was Danish in our school. But I knew her from my Girl Scout troop, I think, as a kid. And I went to sleep over at her house once, and her parents had made frog legs for dinner, so I like called my mom to come pick me up and take me home.
You ran away. You
ran out.
Oh man,
it scared me. Oh man,
wow. Yeah, embarrassing. Oh, boy. For you.
I used to have like I went to like sleep over at a friend's house literally on the same street a few houses down, and I would still be like homesick, so I just walk myself home before going to bed. A little wussy kid back then, in some regards.
Some regards back then?
Well, I feel like I was also bossy and a strong-willed child, but I think I was also very attached to my mom as a kid.
Oh.
When I first moved to Texas and I had to go to second grade, I think I was like crying as my mom left me on the first day of school.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah. So, yeah. Take your kids to daycare so they get used to being away from you. Don't just drop them off at school and hope it goes well. Anyways, back to Skippy.
Anyway, we come back to the acting department where the department head explains that Ren's pretty self-sufficient. So Kyoko was mainly assigned to be his manager so that like Ren remembers to eat food and stuff. He figures that if he's assigned a girl to be his tent manager, then Ren wouldn't let her eat alone, so he would join in too. We cut back to Kyoko and Ren. They got hamburger steak instead because Ren was just joking about the frog legs. Mm-hmm. Kyoko loves hamburgers and goes on about it for like a while.
It looks really good. Actually.
Uh-huh. Have you ever had a burger before?
I've had a burger, but
good.
I don't know what a hamburger steak is. What the hell is that?
It's just like it's like eating a
hamburger patty as if it was steak. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ren remembers the past where Kyoko, as like a little girl, also loved hamburgers because they were childhood friends, but only he knows.
Mm-hmm.
Ren gives her an overly warm look, and Kyoko doesn't know how to take it. Nearby, some high school girls gossip about how the guy over there might be Ren Saruga. But that girl he's with looks like some weirdo with her jumpsuit. And hey, isn't she around the same age as us? Shouldn't she be in high school? I guess she's a dropout, and Kyoko gets pissed, and her anger shakes the earth as she thinks about if it wasn't for Sho, then she would be a second year right now.
Yeah, in the manga, it's more like they reference her being like, oh, is she like on a date with a sugar daddy kind of thing? And like, oh, you should, it would be way more effective to be in a high school outfit rather than that, if that's what you're trying to accomplish. So a bit more shade thrown in the manga.
Yeah, a bit more like, oh, you're like trying to court pedophiles, huh?
Yeah. Well, he is a labeled child predator in like episode 5 or whatever.
Yeah, in Maria's like a fantasy. Let's see. They leave, and while driving, Ren asks her if she isn't in high school because of Sho. Kyoko says that she was just a stepping stone for his career, so now she's going to become a bigger star than him and force him to say that he was wrong. Ren says that he's sure she has her reasons, but as a fellow actor, it's kind of upsetting that that's your motivation for, like, trying to become an actor. Kyoko gets a phone call from President Lori, and he yells at her because she's been trying to call her all day, but she's never had a phone before, so she's, like, doesn't know how to turn on the ringer, I guess. He tells her that he got her into high school, that'll let her in if she passes the entrance exam. Kyoko is excited and says that she'll take the exam. She's ready to go to high school. Which kind of seems like a step down from being in the entertainment industry, but, you know, I don't know. Ren gets his makeup done for some appearance while Kyoko starts studying. We learned that her mother was insane and had, like, crazy expectations and would only consider a 100% an acceptable grade. As such, Kyoko was constantly told that she was an idiot even though she was getting, like, A's on stuff. While on set, Kyoko notices Ren clearing his throat a lot. In the break room, she confronts him saying that he has been putting cream and sugar in his tea because he has a sore throat. And he has a sore throat because he has a cold. And Ren is like, come on, I'm not, like, coughing or running a fever or anything. I'm fine. And Kyoko insists. And Ren says that if he wakes up tomorrow with more symptoms, then he'll say he has a cold. But Kyoko thinks it'll be too late by then. But he just kind of walks off. So we cut to the next morning. Ren has a temperature of 101 degrees. Ren is embarrassed and wonders how he could have gotten sick. And Kyoko tells him that the department head told her that she got assigned to him to make sure that he, like, eats and just, like, basically takes care of himself. Then she calls him a failure as a professional for not even being able to do that. Ren is dismayed and Kyoko scolds him for not doing basic stuff. Ren apologizes to Kyoko, telling her that he should have just listened to her. She thinks that he's actually very genuine and mature towards her, even though he doesn't like her acting motivations. Then she realizes that the reason he's been so hostile to her up to this point is because he didn't like her motivations, and maybe, like, it was all just a misunderstanding, like he just didn't get why she was mad. Ren still goes to set while sick. Kyoko notices that there's a tanker there because they're going to film a scene in the fake rain, so they gotta, like, spray water all over everybody. Kyoko is like, hey, Ren, being soaking wet is going to make your cold worse. And Ren says that it can't be helped because the fake rain was his idea. They shoot the scene, but Ren's co-star keeps messing up her lines and they have to keep doing a bunch of takes. The director is like, maybe we should just call for a break. But Ren says they don't have time. He very sweetly encourages his co-star that she'll get it soon if she just relaxes. Eventually, they get the shot. We cut to Ren's dressing room where we see he has physically collapsed on top of Kyoko. She wonders what she's going to do as we cut to credits.
Oh, scandal.
What a crazy, like, cut. It's just like...
Yes.
He, collapsed on you. That must have hurt.
We don't even see it in action. It's just her
being, He's like a big guy.
Yeah, he's, like, huge. Because I think she's... Well, I feel like in the manga, they say he's, like, 6'5 or something.
Oh my god, he's so tall. What?
Yeah. Which is very not the typical height in Japan.
No.
So.
He should have been in the NBA. What's he doing in acting?
I don't know. That's why he's number one. I don't know. I feel like I never see in anime them talking about liking tall guys. That's not really a thing that they mention.
So far.
About boys.
If I think about all of the couples and all of the shoujos that we've watched so far, the guy has always been taller.
Yeah, I mean...
Kazehai is taller than Sawako.
Yeah.
Ryu is taller than Chizu.
Yeah.
Katara is taller than... what's her face?
But she's... Oh, Saki. No. Tomoyo.
Tomoyo. Yeah, he's taller than Tomoyo. Every time, the guy is always taller.
Well, once we watch Lovely Complex, that'll be the exact opposite because it's the whole thing of the show is that she's super tall and he's super short.
Okay.
Even though she's not that tall.
Oh, yeah, right.
As we talked in, yeah. Anyway, yeah. So, thoughts on this episode? More about Ren than, like, acting or anything.
More about Ren. He's totally self-sufficient, except for the fact that he doesn't, like, do eat. Basic shit for himself. Eat.
Yeah.
I can
relate to him being like, I can brag that I've never been sick before because I used to be like, I never get sick. And then you get sick. And then, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he is very much like the boyfriend who's good at work, but is bad at taking care of himself. If only there was somebody to help him take care of himself.
That's right.
Which doesn't really seem like Kyoko. Like, I don't know. Kyoko's not like a caretaker particularly. So.
That's not her personality, but it is her background because she worked at that in
that's true.
The she customer and all that crap.
I know she liked doing that, though. It seems like she's kind of annoyed that she spent her life doing that.
Yes. But that's instilled in her now.
So, like, Ren 100% knows it's her from the past. Like, he's in flashbacks of it. So, how do we feel about him not saying anything about that? Like, is that kind of weird to be, like, not saying anything about that?
Well, there's a reason. I mean, if we think about what we know, she called him a different name. They don't show his face. So surely that means he doesn't look like what he looks like now. And he's going by a different name.
Witness protection? Did he witness a murder?
But anyways, right? He doesn't want her to know it's him.
I hope he witnessed essentially.
A murder. That's not very shoujo, is it?
It's not, but he's mysterious. The guy can witness a murder.
Okay.
Wait, women like murder? They're all about true crime. What are you talking about? I guess this was in the past. That was before that became popular.
Maybe
he faked his death.
Maybe. But yeah, so that's why he hasn't said anything. He's also supposedly trying to keep his distance from her.
Oh yeah, they're very bad at that.
Yeah.
They're bad at avoiding each other. I like how he's supposed to be keeping his distance, but Maria's like, hey, you want to go to this commercial shoot? And he's like, sure. And it's Kyoko's commercial shoot.
Yeah, I know. I feel like in the manga, they also say, or I don't know if it's in the future in the anime, they'll say this, but Moko is also assigned as somebody's assistant manager. So there's an example of her doing love me work.
Oh, I wonder what that's like for her.
I'm sure it's much more professional. And
you don't think she's like knocking shit over on set?
No, no, I don't think so. I could see her being like behind the stage, like acting out the scene as the scene's happening just by herself. I can see.
Oh, yeah. She's definitely standing off to the side being like, that person sucks.
That's yeah, it should be me. Yeah.
Why can't this person remember their lines?
Oh, yeah. She would have been pissed at that lady. Stop me.
It's so funny to be like, you gotta like, oh, I'm sick. Anyway, I gotta film this scene where we're just getting blasted with water.
Okay. Also, I feel like what's the anime always talks about being wet and getting a cold. Is that real?
Oh, yeah. No, this is a myth.
Okay.
It's a myth that like cold weather like weakens your immune system. So like being wet would do that. But like, it's not going to be that if you already have a cold, you already have a cold.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're always like, make sure you dry your hair so you don't catch a cold and stuff like that.
That also is not true.
I'm like, what is happening? This doesn't happen to me, and I'm a human too, so I don't know what.
Yeah, there's a thing about it, like, if your like hair is wet for too long, it can like make you catch a cold or something.
I feel like I sleep better if I go to sleep with my hair wet. It feels so good, and then it makes my pillow cold because it's damp.
Yeah, none of that stuff. I guess he's dying. You think he's gonna die? He collapsed on top of her. Another guy who's pinned her to the ground in an unromantic way.
Oh, that's right. Just like when she was in the suit.
I guess she was pinning him in that time.
Yeah. So how do you think, what do you think is going to happen next?
I think she's going to have to nurse him back to health using her domestic skills.
Yeah. Is he going to like that? Or is he going to keep being mad at her for stuff?
I think we're 100% going to get the, like, he's in a fugue state because his temperature is high and he's going to like say stuff about his child. Like he's going to reveal that he knew her by saying some vague cryptic stuff.
Yeah.
And
then she's going to be like,
how did he know this? And then he's not going to say anything because his deep, dark secret of when he witnessed a murder, he cannot talk about this.
That's right. Oh, my God. Okay.
That's
Ren's backstory now.
How do we feel about Ren and Kyoko at this point? Do we feel like they're like romantic scale?
I think the romantic scale is non-existent for the most part.
She does
have moments. Well, right. Even if she has the moments where she's kind of blushy or like moved by what he says, she wouldn't admit that has anything to do with romance. Because she's like, I'm never going to fall in love again and all that. So she'll resist.
Well, and to a certain extent, I can't really tell like what her, you know, when she's like, oh, I wanted to tell him that I like got in this commercial as like a, this is the person I am both like trying to like prove myself to, and also the person that like is I am aspiring to be, because he is more popular than Cho, right? Like that's who she wants to be.
100%. Yep.
As opposed to like somebody you admire as like a romantic potential interest. I don't think that's really there yet. I think it's those first two things.
Yep. Very much so. She joined the business for Cho, but is now like growing and trying because of Ren.
Yeah, it's not as clear to me what's going on from his perspective. I mean, I guess it's probably really weird for him that this person from his past showed up. Like this weirdo girl that he found kind of amusing, you know, and he was just like to tease and stuff, is also someone from his past. That probably freaks him out some, you know what I mean?
Yes. His big secret. He can't let it be revealed. And there's like a nice to be relocated and change his identity again.
Kyoko's going to go to high school.
Yeah.
Because she's good at school, even though I did not think she would be like so good at school.
She does have kind of a like doofus energy, but no, she's like, it's most like she has a lot of potential and a lot of things, and just she didn't get to explore those things because of Sho.
That's true.
So, and her mom not acknowledging that her
God, what is very with her mom, dude?
Mom sucks.
I'm worried that we're not going to have time to get to that part in the anime because like we're already halfway. Like this is past the halfway point. We only have 10 episodes left.
It gets explored in the manga.
Oh, I'm sure. But I don't think we're going to get it in because like I feel like the anime has to hit the romance stuff, right? It has to pay off some of that a little bit. I don't think we're going to get the mom stuff, which is too bad because that seems like the craziest thing that's going on in this show to me.
That's true. So.
What?
Cricket's cute, right?
The dog? Yes.
Yeah, she's so cute.
What? Why are you asking me
this? She's in my lap right now. She's so cute. Okay.
Uh-huh.
She's grumbling at me because she wanted to sit in my lap.
I see.
Oh, so cute. Okay. Well,
should we transition to the next section?
Yeah, let's do recommendations. Do you have any
other... Okay.
I don't... Do you have one? Because
I do.
Okay, good. You go first.
But I never remember the name correctly, so I gotta type it in real quick.
Okay.
I'm gonna recommend what is classified as a psychological horror drama film, I Saw the TV Glow, which is a movie from this year, 2024, let me pull up some information, director Jane Schoenbrunn. I don't think I said that right. This is an A24 distributed film. It did pretty well in like whatever Sundance Film Festival, those things, you know, those like things that they do where it's like, this is like a cool artsy film. It's really interesting. So it kind of follows this kid, Owen, as he like goes through his life, where he as a, I guess like, middle schooler and also high schooler watched a young adult TV show called The Pink Opaque, and he bonds with a fellow classmate Maddie over watching it together. They're both kind of social outcasts for a variety of reasons, and so they are able to bond over this TV show. This TV show is kind of weird. It's kind of very like, because it's like a 90s throwback thing. So it's, I haven't seen Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I feel like a lot of it is from that, but it also feels kind of like Degrassi, kind of like other stuff of that nature of like the real like young adult, like teen thing going on. The CW. Yeah. I mean, this movie serves pretty well as like different like genre or like period piece stuff of like the 90s. And then it also goes to like, you know, he gets older and he gets a job at like a movie theater. And so like, you know, it goes through all the way through time. It like goes throughout his whole life. But Maddie, who he is bonding over, goes missing at a certain point, and then she comes back with some very interesting news about this TV show that they watched, and it's wild. I really like this movie a lot. I think it does a lot of really interesting things with the like questions it kind of asks, and how the like allegory of what the Pink Opaque is going to mean plays along. And it's very interesting. It's hard for me to talk about this without like spoiling stuff, because I walked into this movie knowing basically nothing. I walked into this movie because I saw a Blue Sky post by somebody saying if you liked House of Leaves, you would like I Saw the TV Glow. And I'm like, I like House of Leaves, which is a book. And they were right. So if you like House of Leaves, you probably will also like I Saw the TV Glow. It's cool.
Never heard of either.
It's a, you never heard of that? House of Leaves?
No.
It's a book. It's cool.
Okay.
Have you thought about the Minotaur and the Labyrinth?
Not really.
Maybe you should.
Well, I'll also do a, I'm going to do a scary movie since it's October. It's my favorite scary movie ever. It's part of the Conjuring universe, and it's Annabelle, the one about the doll. And I don't know, when did it come out? Probably like 2010 or something, but it's so good. First off, it's set in the 50s, so everything's cute and quaint, and the outfits are nice, and the lady's really pretty. And there's a cute-ass baby in it, and spooky shit's going on, and it's, like, really good. Because it's eerie, and there's a few jump scares, and I like jump scares. And it's, like, there's this one scene that is so freaky. Where like, like goosebumps, kind of like the scene from this new alien movie with the offspring, but just like humanoid things that aren't human being really scary. And then there's a sequel that is even scarier, but I like the first one better. But the sequel's good too. And I really like the was it Lorraine and Ed? The couple that all these stories are based off, because they're like real people who claim to be like, I don't know, exorcists or something, but in the real story, supposedly, it's like a Raggedy Ann doll that's cursed. So it's like a cute little doll, not the creepy ass one that's in the movie. But yeah, it's really good. The Conjuring is good as well. The Nun is the other one they've made, and that one wasn't, I didn't like it that much, so. But The Conjuring and Annabelle have both been good series. Lorraine and Ed Bobbitt. Nope. Lorraine Bobbitt is not the right. Okay, if anyone knows who that is, that's so wrong. That's not her name. That's the name of the lady who, like, dismembered her shitty husband. And, you know, the most valued member a dude has to lose. Anyways.
What are you talking about?
Sorry, Lorena Bobbitt cut off her husband's penis and then threw it out a window.
Yeah, I know, I pieced that together. Why are we
and
talking about
the
that?
Cops found it and they sewed it back on. Okay, because I said Lorena Bobbitt and that's her name, I meant Lorena whatever, Warrens. The Warrens, that's the couple from the movie. Anyways. Yeah, so that's my recommendation. Annabelle, super good, super spooky, not like overly gory by any means. So, yeah, it's just so good. I love it so much. And that's the time when I saw it in theaters. I was on a date, and this other couple that we knew thought that my boyfriend was on a date with a different girl because I actually had put like makeup and straightened my hair and stuff. So they didn't recognize me.
Well, that's incredible.
Well, cause they only saw me at paintball practice where I'm like grungy as hell and gross. And my hair's like up in a ponytail. So that was funny.
That's so funny.
But yeah. Okay. Those are our recommendations. Now we need you to do us a solid and
I never know if you were going to say it or not.
I'm not going to steal your thunder.
It always sounds like you're about to do the whole thing. Go ahead. No, you do it.
Okay, here I go. Maybe it's because maybe if I'm the one doing it, they'll actually leave reviews.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, folks, look, I love getting written reviews, which you can do on Apple Podcasts. They mean a lot to us. It's really helpful to us to read those and hear feedback. And then if you can't be bothered to do that, you can also easily just drop a rating, which is the stars that you can leave. So if you give us a 5-star rating on Apple or Spotify, it'd be much appreciated. And we are getting feedback on our YouTube videos. I forgot to check those. So you gotta check out our episodes. We get some comments there, just kind of as someone's listening to the episodes, it's like a bunch of comments from specific person, but so there, you can even leave them on the YouTube channel if that's where you listen. But yeah, we just want to feel like we're not speaking into the void to no one but ourselves. So it's much appreciated.
That's fine.
If you left us feedback, and if you enjoy listening to us, do us a solid and leave a rating and review.
Yeah, that was good.
Okay.
You said
more pleading than normal. Please.
I'm begging you.
Yeah.
I need reactions.
That's right. I need validation.
That's right. I need these microphones to work.
That's right. Yeah, we struggled so much today.
I have to return this mic, and it's going to be annoying to do.
It's so annoying to return things. I like never return things unless I bought them physically in a store nearby. Yeah. Such a pain in the ass. But anyways, if you have a microphone recommendation, that's something you could leave in our reviews too. But otherwise, we're going to wrap things up here. We're both tired from our audio ordeal. So yeah, I guess I hope you enjoy this episode, and we'll get to see more Ren Kyoko action next week.
So what if she can't push him up? What if she's just like stuck under
there's
him
no way she can. Well, she actually has a lot of strength from her anger, so if she can just channel that, she could do anything.
You think but so?
She might be overwhelmed by having Japan's hottest man on top of her.
Next episode could just be her stuck under Ren the whole time. It's like a bottle episode, but she's just stuck.
What's a bottle episode?
It's an episode of a TV show where they like put everybody in one place and they're like stuck, like they're trapped in a bottle.
Oh,
it's usually like, what you do to save money on an episode.
Okay, that's like the episode of Modern Family where they're just doing FaceTime the whole episode.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed. Remember, make sure you don't go in water because you'll automatically catch a cold.
Yeah.
I have that.
Superstitious colds are real. You can get caught in water. Remember to eat food.
That's important to life.
Eat food and go to sleep. Don't just keep working all day.
Yeah. Boo. Gross.
That's bad.
Yeah. So, all right. On that note, toodaloo.
Peace.
Oh, we didn't do our scary ghost stuff. You're supposed to be a ghost still.
I can be a ghost later.
Ooh. Okay.
There's plenty of time for a ghost. Oh, we're not done. All right. Bye. 3 hours that I bought that's expensive and apparently picks up all of the humming of all of the electronics in my room, making it impossible to do anything.
That seems like a big flaw in the device.